Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday Meditation. I'm Marvin G. Belzer. We haven't met. If you're new to meditation today, then I hope you're in the right place. I hope to give you some clear guidance. And if you're more experienced, as I know many of you are, just some reminders about the basics of what we do in meditation. We're not trying to coerce our minds so much as just become more familiar with our minds, our bodies, and even as we direct attention, I'll guide you in this, directing attention to sounds we can hear, sensations in our bodies. It's a very gentle activity. It is something that can that our intention to try can be useful, but often the real challenge for busy people is to let ourselves not be so busy, right? And again, our minds are going to probably be busy, and so we don't squelch that or fight it, but we do remember that we don't have that many responsibilities for this period of meditation. We're taking a break from whatever the daily responsibilities are to give ourselves an opportunity to tune into our experience in a way that actually can be very helpful, even when we do return to the daily to-do list. So I'll invite you to focus attention on sounds you can hear, on sensations in your bodies, the sensations of the breath. The reason we begin this way, as most forms of meditation do, is because there is something good that happens when we take time to focus attention on something in our experience that's relatively neutral, meaning not painful. And it can be hard to believe that this is useful, but you can try it for yourself and see. And even though it is something we can do, our minds have many habits, right? Conditioned, instinctual, whatever. And so one of those habits will be our attention will get pulled away very quickly sometimes into thoughts about this or that. And we try to remember when we notice this has happened, we take an interest. We haven't failed at all. It's the nature of our minds to move quickly. And so we include, in mindfulness practice, we include whatever pulls our attention, and that is a capital W, whatever it is. So there's no list of that I know of. There's no list of things that can come into consciousness that it's okay to be aware of in mindfulness practice. The list includes anything. Anyway, there's no list of things we can't be aware of. Sometimes it's too hard, right? Sometimes it's really difficult. And that's where we don't have an obligation either. So we have that invitation to tune into what's real, but there's always that option of shifting attention back to that home base of the breath or wherever we were focusing. And when things are difficult, it's really good to become more familiar with this option, right? So this is also part of what we practice here. So let's go ahead. Eyes can be open or closed. Most of us probably will find it easier with eyes closed. Either way is fine. You might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Just one way to begin. Letting your breath be normal. We will come back to the breath. For now, just open your attention to the sounds you can hear. It can be useful to notice how easy this is, in that we don't have to hear everything or keep track. The mind is spacious, open, sounds can come from anywhere. In the midst of everything else that may be happening for you, just giving priority to what can you hear moment after moment, tuning into this changing flow of sounds. So opening attention to sounds can be a good option, a good home base at times when our bodies are really uncomfortable or our minds are racing. Just giving this kind of field, this wide field of attention. It is good to practice with our bodies though. So when you wish, if you wish, let your attention settle into your body. Noticing what you can feel, much the same way as we did with sounds. We're not trying to feel everything, but just tuning into the raw sensations in your head and shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, and feet. Again, not trying to get something out of the sensations, just noticing what is there. Might be a lot, it might not be much. Feel of your back or legs against a chair or sofa. Feel of your feet against the floor or wherever you may be. Your hands, soften sensations in our hands. Sensations connected with the normal breath, the abdomen, slight rising, tensing. With the in-breath, falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. Something similar in the chest, slight movement. So we don't have to exaggerate the movement or make it happen. These sensations are available and tend to be pretty good for our purposes, just tuning into sensations in our bodies by virtue of which we know the in-breath is beginning, the out-breath is beginning, sensations at the opening of the nose. So we're not making a fetish of the breath, really. It's just the sensations tend to be relatively neutral, good for our purposes. For any reason, the breath doesn't feel quite right, it's fine. Just shift somewhere else, hands or feet, legs, or back to sounds. If the choices are confusing, probably the breath is good enough, even at the nose, just knowing when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins. So our frame of mind is receptive. Sensations arise and pass away on their own, come and go. So we don't need to change that process. A little bit of effort just to try to remember what we're doing. Knowing that at times we'll forget. Quite normal. So we realize the attention's been drawn away from where we were trying to hold it. It's not a failure, it's just an opportunity to notice what's happening, what's come to mind. Maybe a quiet recognition using thoughts, just to recognize thinking, planning, worrying, often emotion of some degree. Anxiety, excitement, anger, fear, joy. Including that too, especially focusing on the feel of the emotion in our bodies, that component of the emotion, which we can actually feel, the visceral, palpable sensations, often in the chest, the torso. But here, our responsibilities are limited, right? It's not a real job. It's just an opportunity, and we can reconnect back to the breath or wherever we are focusing at any time. And even if today is your first day to meditate, we actually use our own intuition, our own judgment and wisdom, even in this process, how much effort to make and exactly what to do, receiving these sensations. So it would take 4 or 5 more minutes for the meditation. Still no rush. So thank you. It's good to meditate with you again. You know, it's really, really tempting and even almost rational to sort of measure how well we did, you know, during the meditation. And there is a place for learning from our experience. And so when we, you know, we can use our intelligence and kind of take note of what happens and did we enjoy it? Did it make sense? And so forth. And then look at how we approached it so we can learn. But even more importantly, we can also get more accustomed to not evaluating so much, right? And not trying to micromanage everything and so forth. And especially when it comes to that very seductive idea that if only we were doing it right, everything now would be okay, right? And it's not exactly how this works. There is no doubt in my mind, from my own experience, from Buddhist psychology, from many sources, that what we just did, what I tried to teach, is useful, valuable. It's a resource for us, both relative to creating more stability and resilience, you know, in our experience, but also in dealing with difficult states like physical pain and difficult emotions. But it's also a very personal process. It's extremely personal. And what is sort of beautiful about the variety of meditation traditions and methods and so forth is that it is, you know, it's there are resources for us, but resources that can almost, first of all, the diversity of traditions makes it clear that, okay, we probably have to stay on our toes relative to our own practice and our own experience. And teaching a lot this summer with Carl Lai, with Matthew Brensilver and others, we definitely teach the same thing. We agree about the basic methods and so forth, but if you've had the opportunity to study with them at all, it's quite obvious that we put things in different ways. And it's not that we're trying to, you know, convey our own experience so much as the fact that we have practiced a lot and so forth does shape what we say and how we say it. And the valuable thing here is that we can develop our own practice. This is where I have a lot of confidence, you know, and so forth. So there are a number of things happening. Speaking of Matthew will be pretty active this week at the Mindful Awareness Research Center here on Zoom. And he will, on Tuesday night, he's teaching a workshop that has three parts, but you can drop in to any or all of them the tomorrow night, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you, Ronnie. Maturing our stories, relinquishing our stories with Matthew. And then on Thursday night, 7 to 8:30, Ali Mosaver Ramani, Dr. Ali, will be giving a workshop with the title, An Intimate Alchemy, Longing as the Gateway to Belonging. That's 7 to 8:30. And then Saturday, Matthew will be leading a day of mindfulness, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So invite you to consider these, and as well as the other items that Ronnie posted there. So thank you for your attention. And, keep in mind, you know this, or you could put two and two together if you didn't quite have this thought before, that you can do this on your own. Right. And I love teaching it. I love sharing it, but it's also part of my job and my responsibility to remind you of that from time to time, that, you know, this is so personal that indeed we can do it on our own, and it can be nice to be with a group. And it's sort of amazing that, you know, we do gather for this from all over the world and so forth, but the activity is something that we can do on our own. And even if 3 minutes seems like a long time when you're doing it by yourself and in silence, that's okay. 3 minutes is good. So I don't think it's that helpful to set a time standard, you know. So in any case, thank you for your attention. It's good to practice with you.